Blog Talk Radio.
If you knew the gift of God, you asked me for a drink of water. Whosoever drank would never thirst again. And if you drank the water, he'll fill you well with life.
How many thirsty folks here tonight? Come on, just lift your voice if you're thirsty. Come on, begin to worship him. Come on, worship like you're thirsty tonight. Come on, worship like you're thirsty for him. Hallelujah. Oh, that I'm Messiah. Come on, thirsty people. Come on, thirsty. Come on, thirsty. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, thirsty, yeah. I'm thirsty, yeah. Feel my well, God. Come on, lift your voice.
Welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree from Eagles Wings International Ministries. We're broadcasting live at EMG Radio, live at 347-945-5416.
Glory to God. God bless you. Yeah, God bless everyone. Amen. This is Apostle Marcus Dupree, and I thank God for Prophet Selena Dupree who's joining me tonight. Amen. For our grand, you know, our grand start and beginning. Amen. Online and on the air tonight, and we thank you for all tuning in. Amen. We're gonna have a great time tonight in the Lord. Amen. And we're gonna just do what God has called us to do. Amen. Minister the word of God. Amen. And we're going to partake in the word of grace. And as we get ready to get started, we're going to just open the line with prayer. Father, we thank you right now for your presence in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity that you brought us here together in one accord tonight. Thank you, Lord. We ask you just to saturate this atmosphere with your presence, Lord God, and we allow you to have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy that's sufficient for us, Lord God, even how you're moving on this very hour. Touch every heart, Lord God. We thank you that you give us wisdom, even as we're on the line tonight, Lord God. Show us how to go forward in your name, Lord God, that we shall always be careful and mindful to give your name the praise. Lord, let's do everything in decency and order, Lord God. Everything shall lift up your name and exalt you. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. Use us, Lord, as we open ourselves unto you tonight. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We thank God for this opportunity to come before you tonight and to, you know, share the word of God with you. And even as we continue to build up one another, Lord, in this hour and time where, you know, the things that are happening in the world today, people need peace. They need the Lord. And sometimes even for those who have the Lord, they need to be reassured in that area of their peace, because we've allowed so many things to get close to us, so many things to pull on us day by day, and things happen. People's faith get rattled or stagnated or even staggered in our faith. You know, we have to be renewed constantly by the word of God. We have to be strengthened by the word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we have to be reminded of this, because this is sometimes the only way we're going to grow is, you know, is going to be by the word of God. We can't, you know, we can talk to a bunch of people, but really when it comes down to it, we need to talk to the Lord. We need to get to know him, develop and cultivate our relationship with him. Everything wants to be built up in our life. Everything has a voice. You know, sometimes we can have so many voices speaking into our ears, and we just need to get to the voice that matters the most, the Lord's voice. And we need him to get direction. And even as we continue to get into his presence and allow him to minister to our heart, you know, it's something about being in his presence that makes everything all right. No matter what you're faced with, I just want to encourage you for a moment that no matter what you're faced with, no matter what's going on right now in your life, the Lord can handle any burden that you bring to him. He's waiting for you just to open up and just pour into him. You know, he said, casting our cares unto him because he cared for us. A lot of times we carry these burdens when it wasn't meant for us to be carrying them. You know, we have to know when the Lord is dealing with our heart and knowing when he is pouring out to. He wants to pour out to us. He wants us to know his heart and just begin to open up to him and allow him to come in. You know, and you know, the Lord is right there watching, and sometimes, like, just if you just give it to me, I can take it. But sometimes we just have to just get to a place of surrender. We have to, sometimes it has to get so heavy to where we can only do nothing but break down and just give it to him. And then he said, no, thank you. Now I can begin doing what I do best. Amen. So without delay, we're going to go into the Word of God, and we thank God for his Word tonight. And each and every one of you hearing tonight allowing just coming in and just being just partakers of the Word and hearing. We're going to ask you to turn with us in your Bible to Psalm 23. Glory to God. Very familiar passage, very familiar psalm. But we're going to look at, you know, have us a good time with this Word tonight, amen, and really kind of go into it and really just get some understanding. As I before to read Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's begin to dissect the Word of God. We go to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Tonight we're going to talk about the love of the heart of a shepherd. The heart of a shepherd, it's really love, but the heart of a shepherd. And this shepherd, as we talk with the shepherd, we see the shepherd in twofold. We see the shepherd as the Lord being the Lord Jesus. Then also we see the Lord, you know, the shepherd also as an earthly pastor, shepherd, one who cares for the sheep, you know, as the shepherd's heart. So as we begin to go into this world, we begin to see how twofold it shows us his love. Either way it goes, his love shines through the heart of a shepherd. Amen. Here we see the shepherd is simply one who cares for the sheep. He's one who's been assigned to to care, to love, nurture the sheep. And when we see this, we understand that his love is truly is awesome just like that, because he shows his love. There's almost no limit to what he would do because he cares for us. Okay, that word, the shepherd, means a person whose job is to take care of the sheep, a person who tends the sheep, a pastor or a general shepherd. So we see as we look at the shepherd has a very key point in the psalm. I mean, very key place in the psalm, I should say. He said, David goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As we look at the Lord, what he is in our life, when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we're now giving our life, we're putting our life in his hand, we're trusting him. And with a shepherd, you basically come under his care, and someone who's been assigned to watch over your soul, watch over you, and take care of you. And every shepherd needs to and must have a heart for the sheep. Without the heart for the sheep, he's a hireling. Even as a Lord, he loves the church so much that he's given his life for. See, it's the heart that makes the difference. Even as we see with Samuel, when God told Samuel when he was choosing the next king, he was looking for David. And he said, you know, told Samuel, look at the first brother, like, surely he has destruction to build. I mean, of a king. I mean, you kings, he's got to be the one. But the Lord said, no, I have rejected him. Glory to God. Amen. He refused him because because of his heart. But even as we look at this, we're reminded, and I just want to remind you all, feel free to call in 347 845-5416. Event 347-945-5416. And hit 1 if you want to be in the speaker's box. But glory to God. So even as we understand the heart of a shepherd, he will go to any length to make sure the sheep will be saved. So amen. So we want to allow Prophet Dupree to come on in and minister along with us in this matter of the heart. Amen. What truly a heart of a shepherd is very valuable. Amen.
When you're talking about a shepherd's heart, a shepherd cares deeply for the sheep. The shepherd feels whatever the sheep feels, so to speak, and there's a lot of compassion embedded in that care for the sheep. If you're in a place where you're not feeling that compassion, there's something wrong with the shepherd's heart there. There's something tainted with the shepherd's heart. There should be some type of compassion for the people. If we look at Jesus being our perfect example, he always had compassion. His heart always reached out for the people. He was not about himself. He was not about glorifying himself, even though he could have. You know, a shepherd has a leadership role, and they can a shepherd can be overpowering if they choose to be. A shepherd can show all that they know. A shepherd can boast in themselves because they have that power in their hand. They have that authority to do just about whatever they want. But it's very amazing and just wonderful when God places a shepherd in your midst that does what Jesus does, and that shepherd is humble. That shepherd is understanding. That shepherd is compassionate, because you know that if your shepherd is like that, no matter what the cut goes, that shepherd is going to make sure that they take care of the sheep. They're going to have that love for the sheep. And in this scripture, it's just giving us a description of how much God really loves us and cares for us, how much compassion he has for us. And if we just look in our own life situation, we know that the Lord loves us and has compassion for us, because he doesn't give us one or two or three. He gives us so many chances because he's a faithful God. You know, we mess up a lot as Christians. Sometimes it's things that we know, and then sometimes it's things that we're doing that we just don't know. And God's love and compassion for us as our great shepherd is awesome, because he's always there waiting for us to come to him and get it right. He never shuns us and says, you know what, I'm tired of this. This is the third time you've done this, and I've asked you not to do this. You know, the ultimatum sometimes that we give our children or people that are in our life, God just doesn't do that, because as a shepherd, he understands. He has some understanding of us as individuals as well, and he knows how far and what we can take and how we can go, and he just handles us in a special kind of way.
Amen. Amen. I just want to echo John chapter 10. It talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. Then Jesus said in verse 7, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in, he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life, that they may have life, and that they may have that life more abundantly. So here we see, you know, where we're setting up, we see understanding the difference between the heart of the shepherd. And, of course, we're going to get into the hireling, but also seeing where the enemy desires to sift also as wheat. You know, Satan always wants to try to paint a bad picture of the Lord, because he wants to, any which way he can try and get you away from God, he's always trying to do that, always trying to pull you away. But he's always, even when it comes to drawing up a picture, he draw a picture up before you and make it seem, see, God doesn't love you. No one cares about you. He is the father of lies. Of course, he's going to tell you a whole bunch of things that's not even true. His job is to deceive you. That's what he does best. But at the same time, that's when we have to know our shepherd. We have to know Jesus the shepherd. We have to know our shepherd, the one who watches over our soul. We have to know. That's why the Bible tells us to know them that live among you. And we need to know the Lord in a true intimate relationship. Not just, see, people go to religion. Religiosity cannot hold you. You can read about Jesus and understand about him, but really to know him is really when you allow yourself to be intimate in his presence, to really hear and understand his heart. The heart of a shepherd goes so far beyond just being a church. It goes so far beyond just being saved itself. When you know the heart of the shepherd, his heart touches your heart when you feel it down. He knows how to lift you up and encourage your heart. So as we go a little further, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. David makes this very personal. He said, that's why we have a personal relationship with the Lord. David says here, the Lord is my shepherd. See, you may say, I may know Jesus, I'm saved. He's making it plain. Look. The Lord is my shepherd. He's personal. I have a personal experience with him. We have a relationship that's been birthed. And not only a relationship, there's a covenant that's here, too. When we think about this covenant goes deep. That's why when it comes to our covenant with each other in the body of Christ, it should be deep. You know, is this not a surface thing that happens? And is this not just meeting just another brother or sister? No, it should be deeper than that. The covenant is made.
Praise God. Don't forget to call in at 347-945-5416 and press number 1 if you want to get in our call box. And it's really important because, you know, when you have that covenant with God, when you have that deep relationship with God, everything that's his is yours. Everything that needs to be revealed is revealed unto you because you're in that type of connection with the Father. You can't live off of mama's God or daddy's God or the God that grandma prayed about. This has to be a personal thing that you identify with. If it's not personal to you, you'll never really be able to experience God in his fullness because you're always waiting to see what God, the God of someone else, is going to do. You can't identify with something if it's not personal to you. It's very difficult to appreciate, even show the type of appreciation. Like people with children, you know, when you babysit children, that's one thing. And you can say you have education about children and you study children and, you know, there are those psychologists out there that tell you these things that you should do with children. But until they have children of their own and until they understand what it is to really bring up a child on their own, it's really difficult to identify with. You can come up with all type of fancy rules and things, but if you've never been able to apply those things and actually see them in action with someone from your heart, it's difficult to identify with, and it's the same thing with the shepherd. You have to be able to identify with Jesus yourself. You have to be able to walk in that closeness, that relationship yourself, go through some things with God yourself, not based on what anybody else has done, because you'll always be waiting for what somebody else has experienced. What if those people are not there? What if grandma's not there for you to call up and say, what does the God you pray to say? You don't say it exactly like that, but that's what you're doing when you're calling grandma and dad and mom up to find out, or your cousin or your aunt, and find out, what does that God you talk to say? What is he saying about my situation? Now, you have to have that relationship where you can look to your own Father. You can look to the great shepherd yourself and identify and say, this is my great shepherd.
Amen. And he goes on to say, I shall not want. See, when you understand the true harvest shepherd, he wants to make sure those sheep are taken care of. He wants to make sure that they're not, a shepherd doesn't take 2 or 3 days to get the sheep food or getting out of taking to get to a pasture, or even as far as even drink. You know, he makes sure he's conscious. He understands at a certain period of time he needed to go forth to take them out and make sure they get the proper nutrition and nutrients that's needed to grow. And a shepherd is the same way. He needs to make sure he feeds the sheep the word of God. You can't get the watered down stuff that's not gonna work. Because when you water down, is the people won't grow. And that's why when you care for the sheep, you're going to feed the sheep what they need, not what they want. If you allow kids would want to live off of Kool-Aid. They want to live off Kool-Aid. They want to live off candy. I mean, they'll snack all day long. But when it comes to a real meal, they try to find you all kinds of reasons, excuses, because they don't want to eat. So glory to God. So that's why we, even as a shepherd, even as having a shepherd's heart, we have to know when to say no. Even as God does, he knows when to say no. Just to remind you, feel free to call in 347-945-5416. Amen. So we just wanted to just remind you of that. But amen, you just messed one to get into the speaker's box. But yes, but so that's why even the heart of the shepherd, you can't be afraid to say no or be afraid to say what they don't want you to say. You know, you can't please. You know, that's why even Jesus, he didn't walk about pleasing people. Because pleasing people, it would only say, pleasing people would not get you far in Christ. Because that will only last for a little while. And, of course, after a while, they don't want to hear you anyway because you're not going to speak what they want you to speak. So that's why we must make sure that we have a heart of the shepherd that's going to give the people what they need and not so much what they want. Because if you leave it up to sheep, they'll want just what they want, not necessarily what they need at the time. So verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So the verse 2 shows us that he said, make up to lie down in green pastures. He wants us to lay down in a place of peace. We've been designed by God to be creatures that not to stress, worry. Our bodies were never made to do that. Well, if we were made to do that, we wouldn't have people having ulcers and all kinds of things that happen when we allow stress to overtake our lives. Worry, anxiety attacks, all these different things when we get out of that place of peace. And this is what happens when you have a good shepherd, or when the shepherd or we allow Jesus to come in, he gives us that peace. When we think about the green pastures, we think of a peace of this calm, it's plentiful with green. A lot of greenery that they can eat and be nourished on. It's not a whole bunch of brown stuff. Something's going to work against the body. It's going to help the body be productive and produce, have the energy. Everything it needs to work like a operating machine, like a machine. So all this is important when we talk about nutrition from the shepherd. And he says, it leaves me beside still waters. You know, sheep, rough waters scare sheep. You know, that's why he leaves them beside the still waters. Chaos can scatter the sheep. But when we have a place of peace, an atmosphere of peace, it calms the sheep. It causes them to grow. You know, there's been studies and stuff showing where a lot of chaotic situations or a lot of things happening, you know, is not healthy for a body or even as far as, I remember one particular study they did with a child, with two kids, and actually they gave one some milk in a bottle off a distance and just kind of feed the child in the bottle, and one who was held by a mother and nurtured and fed. Well, the one that was nurtured and fed by the mother grew more than the one that was just fed off a distance by a bottle. So when it comes to that, that's why the intimacy or the close that the Lord, you know, we get from the Lord, it helps us to grow. It helps us to progress. And even the relationship with the shepherd tells us to be nurtured and grow as well.
Amen, amen. And when he says here that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, I oftentimes think of a bed that's comfortable and a bed that's uncomfortable. You know, some beds have springs that when you wake up in the morning, you don't even feel like you've been resting. because of the type of bed. It could be an old mattress or a mattress that's just not right for your body. But when you sleep on a bed that is for your body and it's right and underneath the mattress, whatever is built inside of it, there's nothing in there. When you wake up, you don't feel achy in certain parts of your body because you were able to rest peacefully in this. And the green pastures just reminds me of that even your rest is peaceful. You're able to wake up refreshed. When you've rested, you're able to wake up refreshed in your spirit. Wherever you're receiving your food spiritually, you should feel peace. You should feel rest. When you go in this world system all week, Monday through Saturday, you go through this world system. When you go into the house of the Lord on Sundays, you should be able to enter in one way and come out another way, just refreshed, rejuvenated, you know, just ready for the journey for the next week. You go into the house of the Lord. If you go into the house of the Lord and you come out and you still feel chaotic and there's just mess and chaos, that's a problem, because that shepherd is not leading you into green pastures. That shepherd is not leading you somewhere where you're able to feed and be restful and peaceful at the same time, and then leading you by still waters. When you drink, you will not thirst. You should be in a place where you're able to drink and not be thirsty, because your thirst has been quenched. You've received the word of God in such a way spiritually where your thirst has been quenched, and you're able to go through whatever it is that you have to go through for this life's journey. And so we look at that scripture. You need to make sure that you are looking unto Jesus to wherever you are, so that you're able to have that peace from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Just be in a tranquil place in God, even in your relationship with the Father. And that's just talking about where you are spiritually to grow. But even in your relationship with the Father, when you're spending time with the Lord, when you get in your closet and you've meditated and you've prayed, everything within you should be at peace when you're with the Father. When you're spending time with the Father, you should run to the Father when there's chaos in your life, because you know that when you come out of your closet, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And so if you're in a relationship with the Father, quote unquote, and you don't have peace, there's something wrong with the relationship. And we know it's not on the Father's end. There has to be some tweaking, some things to change, so that you're able to experience God in his fullness. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Once again, that number, call in 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get into queue box. But, yes, that is very important. And we're going to look at John chapter 10, verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And we're reminded of when David was presenting himself to King Saul about going forth and to meet up with Goliath. He was saying how the lion, he said how he kept the father's sheep. And then how he went on further to say how the lion came and then the bear. He was giving his testimony about, you know, I've gone through the process. I understand the heart of protecting the sheep. And he basically said, I'll protect the children of God, the children of God, the same way I protect the sheep. But this Philistine, you know, I'll take care of him the same way I took care of the other ones, the lion and the bear. You see, that's where, you know, the heart of a shepherd is willing to put his life on the line. These are grown men who greatly feared the lion. But because of David's heart for the sheep, it was awesome, because he was willing to put his whole life on the line to fight for the God of Israel, as well as to protect those men, as well, you know, to protect the honor. So, you know, when you talk about it, so verse 12 says, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, listen to that. He said, but the hireling, who is not the shepherd. Even though he's in a position of technically maybe of a pastor, but he's not the shepherd. There's a difference. You may have someone who just maybe a pastor because they was put there, but when they talk about being a shepherd, that's a different kind of view. You're talking about a more intimate, one who really cares, and one who's really reaching out to bring forth clarity and understanding, love, compassion. There's a different type of heart is in a shepherd's heart. And even when we talk about that heart from Jesus, you know, Jesus really cares enough. He cares for his people. He cares for us to give his own life. And that's one thing he's saying with the good shepherd, willing to give his life for those that he loves, and that's sheep. And one who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves. Sees trouble coming and he leaves. And if that's for you today, you have to be honest with yourself. You just thought what you have as a shepherd, you're in trouble. And that's why we must understand and know that his heart, the heart of the shepherd, the true shepherd, should, you know, he's willing to give his life. You know, he protect the sheep. As we go on further. So here we see, he restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. He knows how to care for the sheep when they're hurt. I can just see a little sheep man. So we see here how the shepherd leads and restores. He said, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So when we think about him leading us, the shepherd leads the sheep to safe pasture, even to a safe place to eat and drink, even to rest. That's what a shepherd does. He leads them. He doesn't force the sheep to do, but he leads them and guides them. Amen.
Amen. In this scripture, it says that he leads them in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's not even about us. The Lord wants to protect his name. He wants to keep his name in order. And we say that we are Christians. We are Christ-like. The Lord is going to keep us, and he wants men to see us as Christians. So when it says for his name's sake, it's to protect the body of Christ. It's protect what he's invested in the body of Christ. He takes care of us and restores us and brings us into right fellowship and keeps our souls for the body of Christ, for the purpose of protecting the name of the body of Christ. And so when we're out there in this world system, we have to remember that first and foremost, you know, a lot of times we'll say, well, you know, you represent this church and you represent that church. But really, we represent Jesus. You represent the Lord before anybody else or before anything else. You represent God. When you took on your salvation and you said, yes, Lord, to your will, yes, to your way, yes, to your plan for my life, you then also said, I will represent you, Jesus, in this world system. And if a person never sets foot in a church, if they never go to a place where there's a steeple, they will see you in me. When they see me, they will see exactly what a Christian is supposed to be like. And sometimes we need to reassess our lives and reassess the things that we're doing and how we're representing the Father, because he's been greatly misrepresented, although he's going to take good care of us, because God says here, he restores my soul, because he's faithful to his word. He's not going to go back on anything he says, but what are we going to do? Are we going to renege on the contract?
Amen. Yes, yes, glory to God. And we just thank goodness. We thank God for that. Amen. Once again, our number is 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get into the queue box. Amen. But we thank God for that, because the heart of the shepherd is very crucial in this very time and hour. People are going through so many situations. We need to have shepherds who have a heart for the sheep. Woe unto the shepherds who doesn't have a heart for them, you know, and who doesn't have compassion for the sheep. It's terrible. But that's what God is showing, and Jesus showing this love is from everlasting to everlasting. He cares that much for us, and we thank God that he's not like man. Amen. That's why even as we're learning and growing more in him, we understand his heart even better. He said, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We have to stop and look at this here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. Yes, there's a shadow. It's not even the real thing. It's not even a real thing. But sometimes the enemy will project things and make it look so bad to make you try to cause you to fear. See, faith and fear can never work in the same place at one time. Either you're going to have more faith or you're going to have more fear. One of the two are going to overtake the other, but it never works together. It's like oil and water. It just don't mix. And when it comes to faith and fear, the same way the Lord operates, he draws from your faith and do great things. Well, the enemy draws from your fear and do terrible things. And so we have to really make sure that we really releasing the right thing. What are we carrying? What are we releasing? Is it faith or fear? What we see here, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So no evil. Evil is going to come. It's going to present itself, but we're not going to fear it. We're not going to worry about it. Because why? He says, for thou art with me. Amen. He says, thou art with me.
And when God is with us, there is absolutely nothing that we have to be concerned about. There is absolutely nothing that we have to worry about. We don't have to think about it, because that's like the Hebrew boys. You know, they walked through that fire,
yes,
and God was in there with them. They didn't have to fear the flames. They didn't have to fear the heat. They didn't have to fear being thrown into the fire, because they knew that God was with them.
Yes.
Even before they saw him. This is a faith walk. Being a believer is a faith walk. And if you don't have that faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you are not going to survive as a believer, because we don't experience on an everyday basis, a day-to-day basis, we don't experience a lot of the spectacular, so to speak, in the kingdom. In this earth realm, we don't really see lightning flashing and things booming around us and the Lord speaking like he spoke to Moses. A lot of times the Lord deals with us in a small, still voice. He deals with us in a witness in our spirit. He deals with us in just a knowing in our heart. And you have to be able to hear your shepherd. You have to know his voice. And you have to know that even if you can't feel God there, that he is there. By faith, he is there.
Yes.
And he is with you at all times, no matter what it is. And when you are walking and going forth to do what the Lord has said to do, you and God are majority. It doesn't matter if it's just you and him. And you cannot be afraid to walk alone in this human form, because in the spiritual realm, you have an host of angels. You have God with you. You have witnesses cheering you on. In this flesh, it may appear to be that you're by yourself. It's okay. You can't be afraid of that as a believer, because the Bible says that we are a peculiar people, and peculiar people do walk alone a lot of times. You know, the nerd at school that wore the little pocket protector pins and the glasses and the high water pants, for whatever reason, they weren't afraid to walk alone. Why? Because they were not looking at their present. That nerd you saw at school is probably a doctor right now. They were looking towards their future goals and what they had to do right then to get where they were going. And all those things that most kids would think was so important, having the best shoes and the name brand clothes, and that wasn't important to the nerd that wore the high water pants, because their idea was, I'm trying to get my books, I'm trying to get my work, because I'm going to be a doctor, and that will come. And so sometimes as a peculiar person in the body of Christ, there are decisions and things you have to make that will cause you to walk alone. But it's not for now. You're doing this for a greater reward that no man can see and that no man will understand. But you know the purpose is a divine thing. It's a kingdom thing that most regular people just won't be able to identify with. So sometimes you'll walk alone in this flesh, but the Bible tells us here that I am with you no matter what. Mm-hmm. God is with you. So don't be afraid, because he got you.
Amen. So you say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then when we talk about that, that shepherd of rod, he corrects you as well as he also uses the hook and bring you back in place. You know, he cares for you. He's not going to sit there and watch you walk up a cliff. That should not be. That the love of the shepherd is going to make sure he's going to watch you, the 100. He's going to make sure that one go off. He's going to leave the 99 and make sure he go after that one and bring him on back in. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God as we move on forward. And we see they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When we get in his presence, when we get in his presence, we're at his table. And everything is spread. It's just right there, all right there. Because wherever he is, everything that we need is in him. You know, he's right there, even in the presence of our enemies. Even though it doesn't matter who doesn't like you, who doesn't care, as long as you're wrapped in his presence, wrapped in him, it's going to be all right. Public opinion changes. One man didn't love you, next man didn't know. That was Jesus. One man didn't love you, he was the best thing since sliced bread. The next week, crucified. We're done with you. We got what you want. I'm healed now. I don't need you anymore. But, you know, it changes. So we can't base our life on public opinion. You know, that's why you must be consistent in him. In him. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. Amen. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over in his presence.
And when I see this scripture, we can see in here where the Lord is saying, I'm going to make sure that you are equipped and you are prepared for every single thing you need to be prepared for. He's not going to let you go out half-hearted, just not ready and not right. And that's what shepherds do, even in our churches. Your shepherd makes sure that you're equipped and you're ready to do whatever it is that God has called you to do.
That's right.
That's what God does. He makes sure that we're ready. He makes sure that we're prepared. And you know, it says that thou preparest the table before me. It doesn't say that he sat back and didn't do anything. The Lord prepares it. Because he knows that you're going to need this anointing. He knows you're going to need this power. He knows that you're going to need all of this in order to go forth and do what he's called you to do. So he doesn't sit back and fold his arms and not let you go through tests, not let you go through trials. All those things are to make you strong and to prepare you. He doesn't let you not experience those things that you need to experience to be equipped and ready. No, he actually puts you into situations. That's part of that preparation. He places you into certain situations. He sets you before the people in a certain way to prepare you. And so don't get alarmed by certain things that happen in your life. It's all for ministry. I ministered that to someone recently. I said, everything that you're dealing with is not just, oh, God, why am I dealing with this? It's, oh, God, I have to get through this. I have to win this because I am in this not just for me. It's for someone else as well, so that when they begin to come up and deal with this, I can say, this is how God helped me through it. This, you have to realize as a Christian, everything in your life is about ministry. It's about ministry, and you don't have to have a big title or be in the pulpit. You can be the person that cleans the church, and you still are responsible for ministry. It is part of your purpose as being a believer. Just ministry in general. So when the Lord prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy and he anoints you, it's not just for you to be anointed and sit there and just slide all over the place. You are to be anointed to go forth to do what you have to do in the body and outside of the body to win souls ultimately.
Amen. And my cup runneth over. You see, the blessing comes after your obedience. When you've been obedient, then comes the blessing. See,
right.
Some people want to get the blessing before they be obedient. But no, you do what you got to do first for God. Then your blessing comes. Your obedience. You want to go high in the Lord? Be obedient to his presence. And glory to God. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, your consistency will pay off in God. When you be consistent in God, his consistency of the blessing will be there for you. He will provide. He will take care of you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In his presence is where we want to be. You know, we want to make sure that we're in his presence, in the place where he is. You know, anywhere else without him is torment. You don't want to be there. But every place his presence is, that's where you want to be. Glory to God. We want to dwell, live, stay, abide in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Once again, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 for the Q box, and you'll get in and speak to us. Amen. Do we, amen. We have any announcements? Well, do we want to open up the floor now? If there's any calls, anyone want to speak in, come on in, call in. Amen. Press 1, come on to speak. Amen. Okay, so in the meantime, until we have anyone calling, we want to give a few announcements.
Just to announce what's going on at Eagles Wings International Ministries, we're excited that God is doing some wonderful things. I'll give you first our service times. Our service times are Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m. and Tuesday at 7:15. And our number to call in is 843-619-0410. That's 843-619-0410. And you can just call in and fellowship with us in our services. Again, that Sunday service, and this is 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 7:15 on Tuesdays at Eastern Standard Time. Also coming up this Friday, we will have a prayer, all-night prayer, starting at midnight Eastern Standard Time at that same call-in number. And we will be praying and all night. And so if you have any prayer requests, anything you want laid on the altar, we will gladly add it into the prayer and just have that all-night prayer, fellowshipping with the Lord and just communing with God and just having fun in prayer, in communication with God, worshiping. We've done this before, and it's been so successful, and people call in with all types of things, and we enjoy it, too, because we get testimony after testimony when the prayer is over, just weeks and weeks after. We can continuously get testimonies of how God answered prayer. It's just believers coming together to pray, seek the face of God, and it's all night from midnight, usually until 6 a.m. in the morning, and we're just up praying before God. So come on in and join into that as well. And then this month on the 21st, we'll have the 21st and through the 23rd, we'll have the marriage retreat or workshop, and we're going to be ministering to married couples. Apostle Marcus and I have been married 15 years, and we are still in love and still having fun and just enjoying being married, and we don't have a marriage life sentence. We have a wonderful married life, and we believe that the Lord has given us a gift and a ministry to married couples, and just to lead them into a joyful, happy marriage. And so, you know, marriage, one of the things that we talk about is if you're in a marriage, it's really good to have maintenance. You don't always want to have to go when there's a problem. So even if you're having a great marriage, just come in and fellowship. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just to check, if we have any calls, we call in. Amen. Or anything. Okay. Okay. Then also, too, we also have one more. In June, we have a singles conference coming up in June as well. So, but we'll be announcing that more as time we get closer to, we get more information about that. But we thank God for the word, God, tonight, and how, you know, even just being able to work along together. I enjoy working with Prophet Dupree. She's an awesome woman of God, and I love her dearly, and I just love the work. I just love the fellowship and the work, you know, in the Lord with her, you know, and just she just make teaching the word out so easy, you know. She's a good partner. And we are a partner in Christ together. So, amen. We look forward to what God is going to do with this opportunity that we have to go forth and bring forth the word. We pray that you receive well tonight. We pray that you enjoy the word that came forth, that you were edified and built up and even encouraged, you know, because these times we do need to be encouraged and encourage one another. Just take the word of God, what you received tonight, and encourage someone else with it. Tell somebody about what we're doing here on this line. We thank God for EMG, for the radio station, for even for help sponsoring and helping us to come on, and even for, once again, even every caller. Once again, just to give you the number, 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. And we just want to just let you know we'll be here every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just definitely want to welcome you to come on back and fellowship, bring bread with us. We also want to continue to build up the kingdom of God and just continue to do the work of the Lord that he's called us to do. And, you know, we're looking forward, even for, I think, next week is Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
Next week, so prepare to be a blessing to your mother, and you know, even for those husbands who want to bless their wife, their mother of their children and their wife, you know.
And even people that are, you have mother figures in your life. Some people, you know, you might have a mom that's gone, or you never really had a relationship with your mom, but you have someone in your life that you would consider a mother. Don't forget to call, get a card, do something, whatever you're able to do, do something for your mom, because moms are really important. And I think that sometimes young ladies we take for granted, you know, who you have in your mom, because there are some people that don't have their mom with them, and we really, really need to thank God for our moms.
Yes, yes. And so, well, we thank God, definitely thank God for mine and who's been there. She just someone special. I just thank God for her. And so even for that, you know, that's why we always have to be, you know, let's make sure while they're here, we give them their flowers, and, you know, amen, as well. So I'd like to say, once again, I thank God for what he has done tonight and for this word. The Harvest Shepherd that we talked about tonight, and we thank God for EMG Radio Live and Nathan on the spot. We thank God for each and every one of those everyone who made this possible tonight. We just call it a privilege and honor just to be here. So we're going to get ready to do a closing prayer tonight. And amen. We just want to thank God for each and every one of you for tuning in. Tune back again next week on the same time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for your presence, for your word tonight, for this time. It was rich in your presence. And we thank you for the love and compassion that kept us and even being with us, Lord, even touching every heart that's on the line tonight. And, Lord, even any prayer, even this understood, those requests that's unspoken. Thank you for dealing with the hearts of those and working on those requests, Lord God, for them in Jesus' name. You are the God that answers prayers. You are the God that knows us. And we thank you. We trust you, Lord, and we just bless your mighty name. We thank you for even going with us even as we leave this place. We will not leave your presence. We thank you for being with us as we abide and stand with you. And we thank you for you being with us, even encouraging the hearts of many. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that's shed abroad. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you very much. And eagles mount up and eagles take flight. God bless you. Thank you for joining us again on the Eagles Flight. Eagles in Flight. All right. Thank you once again. God bless you, Apostle Marcus Dupree, and this prophet Selena Dupree. We thank you. We send you all love. Amen.
Whatever I need. would do whatever.